This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Center for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
Chris Quant asks, what happens to a gravitational wave when it reaches the edge of the universe? Well, the short answer is that gravitational waves, which travel at the speed of light, are never going to reach the edge of the universe. And this is in part because the universe does not really have an edge. The closest thing is the edge of the visible universe, which is the afterglow from the Big Bang that we see as cosmic microwave background radiation. Given that the radiation traveled at the speed of light from a time close to the beginning of the universe, and that the edge of the visible universe is traveling at the speed of light, it would be impossible for anything traveling at the speed of light or slower to ever catch up with the edge of the visible universe. A more general question would be, what happens to gravitational waves over time? Well, they generally weaken as a function of the square of the distance that they travel, just like electromagnetic radiation does. This is kind of a boring answer, but it's the best answer to the question. Philip the Rich asks, I'm wondering whether Ultima Thule took on its present form not in the protoplanetary solar disk, but in the ejecta of a previous supernova. Has any research been carried out on how supernova ejecta condenses, and would this throw any light on any of this? Well, a lot of work has gone into studying how solid matter forms from supernovae, and it has generated a lot of controversy, in part because of disputes over data processing techniques and over identifying which infrared sources are actually associated with the supernova remnants and which infrared sources are clouds of dust that just happen to fall along the line of sight to supernova remnants. I've even been peripherally involved in some of these debates, too. In any case, the material ejected from supernovae is expected to create interstellar dust grains, but the shock waves from the supernovae are also expected to destroy dust grains, just to make life confusing. Everyone's expectation is that the material ejected from supernovae are going to form the types of dust grains seen in the interstellar medium, which are very small things around 100 nanometers in size. The expanding gas shells just don't seem like the type of environment for dust to condense into anything much larger than a millimeter. On the other hand, protoplanetary disks are regions where the material has gravitationally collapsed into a plane, and these types of gravitational processes are what are needed for dust grains to condense into larger objects. This is why astronomers think that most large objects in the solar system, including Ultima Thule and all of the planets and asteroids, probably formed in the protoplanetary disk that existed while the Sun was forming. Ianto Guy asks, is there any evidence that the Oort cloud really exists, and how long will it be before Voyager 1 and 2 reach it? And what will be the next significant landmark that they get to after that? So, for reference, the Oort cloud is a cloud of comet-like objects orbiting somewhere between 2,000 and 100,000 astronomical units from the Sun, where one astronomical unit is equivalent to the distance from the Sun to the Earth. The presence of the Oort cloud was proposed by Jan Oort in 1950 as the source of comets with orbital periods of about 100,000 years or more. The presence of such comets seems to prove the existence of the Oort cloud, but we don't have any direct observations of things that are orbiting within the Oort cloud. Related to this, the presence of the Kuiper Belt was first suggested by Gerard Kuiper in 1951 as the source of short-period comets with orbital periods of around 100 years, such as Halley's Comet. The first object other than Pluto and Charon found orbiting within the Kuiper Belt was in 1992, and one of the two people who found said object later taught me planetary astronomy at the University of Hawaii. NASA's websites indicate that both Voyager spacecrafts will reach the Oort cloud in about 300 years, and will exit it in about 30,000 years. After that, the spacecrafts will effectively no longer be under the gravitational influence of the Sun and will be drifting in interstellar space. Additionally, NASA's websites indicate that the next highlight for Voyager 1 will be in 40,000 years' time, when it will get closer to the star AC plus 793888 than it would be to the Sun.